So that's the first thing, is become aware of it. And I'm working on an app called that'll help you do a truth audit to try and work out, oh, what are the truths that I could say if I felt courageous? Secondly, once you work it out, say it's like that guy and you're feeling like things are strained and you want to bring up the conversation, the thing that gets in the way is lack of clarity. You're not aware yet what your hope or intention is. Like, what's the good that could come out of it? You haven't generated that yet.
Hi, folks. It's the Quiet Light Podcast with Joe Valley and Mark Dapps. Quiet Light Brokerage is the leader in helping entrepreneurs build, buy, and sell their online businesses. Since 2007, we have helped thousands buy and sell online businesses. And now, we're putting our extensive knowledge in your earbuds with our trademark relentless honesty and a few laughs along the way.
The problem we're trying to solve is that there are rich teams and there are poor teams. Then there's 50 feet of crap, and then there's us. It's an unfair game.
And now, here's Joe and Mark.
So a few years ago, Joe, I wrote a blog post on the Quiet Light blog. People can actually look this up. And it's called, I Made a Bad Website Acquisition. And it was about a business that I bought and made some mistakes with and subsequently sold later on. At the end of that little ownership period that I had with that, it was a real small acquisition. We're talking very small five-figure level here. But at the end of that period, I hated that business. I hated it so much because it wasn't making any money. It was taking a bunch of my time. The logistics were a bit of a pain. And I got to the point where, frankly, you know, I was willing to get rid of it for just about anything. And I know, you know, when we talk about the soft side of a transaction, a lot of times people want to talk about the financial side and the metrics and, you know, the numbers and the financials. How do you actually juice that multiple? How do you get the value as high as you want, as you can? But so much of what we do is on that other side, and that is the soft side of the transaction, and understanding the arc of an entrepreneur's ownership of a business, and how are you going to feel when you sell that business as well. And look, before you turn it off and think this is all soft gooey stuff, this has a real impact on valuations. And I know you talked to David Wood about this, who's a business coach, because he really kind of keyed in on that as well.
Yeah, no, it has a tremendous impact. You know, I like to say, don't let the business outgrow you. That's generally why people sell, because they've got a certain capacity and the business outgrows them. They get sick of it. They get frustrated. Trends change and they sell, which is exactly what not to do. So working with a business coach like David, who spends a lot of time with people in the e-commerce world, helps you understand what your own personal goals are in business and in life. You know, they're combined when you're an entrepreneur. And helps you, you know, get through those valleys and over those hurdles as you need to. David is a good friend of Ezra Firestone's. I met him at Blue Ribbon Mastermind. Brad and I and Chris were there. Saw him do a fantastic presentation. And I just had to connect with him afterwards and have him on the podcast. I think he can and will and has, through the podcast I listened to, imparted some great wisdom when it comes to operating a business within your own capacity.
That's great. Let's get to it.
Hey, folks. Joe Valley here from Quiet Light Brokerage. And today I've got David Wood from Play For Real with us. David is actually a high-performance life and business coach. I met him at Ezra Firestone's Blue Ribbon Mastermind event down in, where were we, David? St. Petersburg, Florida?
Yeah.
In January of 2019. I'm sorry, 2020. David's a good friend of Ezra's and did such an amazing presentation. I wanted to have him on the podcast. Welcome to the Quiet Light Podcast, David.
Hey, thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. We don't do fancy introductions, so why don't you go ahead and give the people listening a little bit of background on yourself and what you do?
Sure. Well, I thought I was successful, and I was at the age of, say, 23, because I was working on Park Avenue. I grew up in a country town in Australia. And here I am on Park Avenue consulting to Sony Music, Ford, and Exxon. And I thought, I pretty much got it made. I was a consulting actuary. And for people who don't know what that is, we deal with financial projections going, say, 50 to 100 years into the future. Wow. And so, you know, my job was risk assessment. But then I lucked into doing a personal growth program. And I nearly didn't do it because they were all smiling way too much and they all wore name tags. I'm like, this is very culty. I don't know about this, but I didn't let that stop me. And they cracked me open. they had me realize that I'd gotten great at systems and logic and results, but I didn't know anything about vulnerability. I knew nothing about deep connection with other people and how to really influence people. Emotional intelligence was something I hadn't even heard of. So the first half of my life was about business and results and success in that line of work. And then the last half of my life has been about researching the more, I still call it hippie woo-woo stuff, like the touchy-feely stuff. How do I make eye contact with someone? How do I be vulnerable? How do I deeply connect? So the people who come to me don't just want their business to be better. You can get a lot of business coaches for that. And they don't just want a part of their life to be better. They want everything to be better than it was before. So that's the short version of, oh, I didn't say too, in that course, I got to coach somebody. Someone was really stuck about something that was destroying her marriage. And I was able to hold space for her and her life changed. And I got hooked. I was like, this is amazing. I just spot the patterns and see what's missing and make a suggestion. And she ran with it, totally revamped her marriage and her life. And I was like, can I do this more than as a hobby? And this is back in 97. Yeah. And it turned out, yes, you can. People were just starting to consider coaching as a career. So now I've been doing it for 20 years and I don't see any sign of stopping.
You were ahead of the curve then and you're doing pretty amazing stuff now. You didn't mention that you wrote a book, that you're on stage quite often. You were on 70 podcasts last year. Lose the name, Jack Canfield or John Gray did the inside cover of your book or things of that nature. You're pretty well connected with high-level people, but you deal with a lot of entrepreneurs as well in your coaching business. Is that right?
Yeah. I've coached entrepreneurs mainly for the last 20 years. Now I'm doing more corporate stuff, some vice presidents and also some prison work and working with prison inmates. So I'm expanding, but I'm an entrepreneur at heart. So I love working with entrepreneurs who are already doing great things. I don't work with just startup. You have to have a track record of success. And then how do you go further?
That's the people listening are probably saying, well, why are we on the podcast together? Why are you here?
Yes.
And when we list a business for sale, oftentimes someone will say, a buyer, well, if it's so great, why are they selling? Or, we always ask the question why they're selling. And more often what happens, people, is that a business outgrows the individual. And what we want people to do is, understand first and foremost who they are, what they're capable of, what their likes are, what their dislikes are, what drives them, what fills their cup and makes them happy. And that's a lot of what you do in your day-to-day work, David. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I get people who have got surface level goals. They come to me like they want to be a better leader or they want to learn how to manage their team or something like that. And that's fine. Let's start there. But then I want to know what's really going to have you be happy. And some people know, and they just don't think it's possible, or they haven't put time on and attention on making it happen. Some people haven't really asked themselves the question, how could my life be better? And that's the sum total of my initial sessions with a client. How can your life be better? Sometimes it's a business goal. If my business increased by 30%, that would do a lot for me financially and my family, and then my life would be better. Okay, maybe I'll buy that. But normally there are other things like, what if my relationship with my partner was deeper? What if my kids opened up to me and talked to me about their life? What if I was had the health that I wanted? So yeah, I like digging into those questions like, how could it be better?
How can the people listening today sort of figure out what questions to ask themselves? Imagine we've got an audience it's got a healthy mix of entrepreneurs that someday may sell their business. They're learning about, buying and selling and preparing their business for sale. And then the other half of the audience might be those that are thinking, you know what, I'm going to buy one of these someday because they're unhappy in the corporate world, or they've sold one and they don't want to take the risk of building another that they're choosing to buy. But let's focus first on those people that are, you know, struggling with the business that they have. They've grown it, they bootstrapped it, it's growing like crazy, they're just trying to keep up. How does one identify what their own level of comfort level is with the size of the business or the staff or the growth? Because a lot of what we deal with are people that wait too long. Things get pretty miserable because it's grown to the point where it's beyond their comfort level. They don't want to manage people. Mark and I had this conversation this morning. He's like, we're doing an organizational chart here at Quiet Life Brokerage. And, you know, I'm in a particular place. Mark's in a, we're all in, you know, different places. The key center of our organization is the advisors, our team of advisors. And I'm straddling a couple of areas. Mark's straddling a couple of areas. And we said to each other, well, we have the right as entrepreneurs to do what makes us happy. We want to choose that path. How does one identify what it is that makes them happy? Is there a process that they would go through in terms of goal setting or asking questions of themselves? And I will just stop rambling now. Answer that question. Help me out.
So the question is, how can people identify how they can be happy? What are the right questions they can ask themselves? And I love this. On 75 interviews last year, no one's really asked me this question. So what I did is I went straight to my website and I'll read out some of the questions. I have a life assessment that anyone can take. And if you like, we can give it to people at the end of the show. They can go and fill it in. But I'll read out some of the questions. I have people in this assessment rate your life areas out of 10. Business, career, fulfillment, wealth and money, your key relationship, health and peace. I even include relationship with yourself, like how much do you like yourself? So these are a few of the areas. There are a few more, which I won't steal all the thunder. I'll leave some for people to find when they go and fill it in. And I have people rate them out of 10. And that helps them look at, oh, wow, this area is really a 3. Like my health and peace is a 3. What's going on there? Or my relationship with my partner is like a 6. Is that really okay with me? Like, am I really going to live the rest of my life at a 6? Mm. So that's the first point. And then I have people rate coaching areas. How about, how are you doing, with real goals? I like to talk about, and you heard this in my presentation at Ezra's Blue Ribbon, GPA, goals, planning, and action. So out of 10, how are you doing with setting real goals, having a real plan, and taking real action? A lot of people would like to be more focused. We're kind of like a monkey on crack when it comes to getting work done. How about your daring, your caring, your decisiveness? So rate these out of 10. And by the way, this form doubles as prep if anyone wants to do a session with me. I use this as intake because I want to go straight to, wow, you're doing great here, 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 and here. And here are 3 areas that look like they could be doing better. Which of these do you want to focus on?
I think the real goals thing is amazing and critical and so obvious that everybody should be doing it, but I don't think they do. I read decades ago, right, David, we both got some gray on the chin, that, you know, Harvard, particular class at Harvard, you know, half the kids wrote down their goals, half didn't. Those that wrote down their goals were something like 10 times as wealthy or successful and happy as those that didn't. One of the things that we're trying to do here and having you on is part of that mind shift. I want people to stop asking the question, how much is my business worth? How much can I sell my business for? I'm ready to sell my business. How much can I? Instead, set goals and say, in 3 years, I want to sell my business for X, and then reverse engineer the pathway to that in understanding, gaining the knowledge on valuations and setting goals to that pathway exit. Are you working with people in terms of that goal section of, you know, their life, whether it's personal, with their partner, with their business, with whatever it is that is weak on that scale, and helping them with goals? Or do you just sort of act in a way almost. And what's the difference between a therapist and a life coach and a business coach in this situation?
All right, we got three areas I want to address here. We'll see if I can track and remember all of them. The first one is...
I won't remember them all, so don't worry about it.
The first one is, for me, you know, I like your process. In this many years, I want to sell my business for X. I think that's missing a key step. I would say, firstly, how do you want to feel in 3 years? Mm. It's incredible. Like, and you can do this for when you're doing a New Year's visioning session, if you ever do that kind of thing. Like, don't set goals first. Set feeling goals. I want to feel this. And then you can set some goals that will help you feel that.
Love
it. I want to feel at peace. I want to feel deeply in love with my partner. I want to feel joy as I walk down the street and look at strangers. Those aren't some bad goals, actually. This came off the top of my head. And then, all right, to feel like that, what would I need to be doing? And I looked at, well, I love coaching. I wrote this down. It was 3 or 4 years ago. I need to be more coaching and training because I'm inspired when that happens. And I want to feel inspired. It's like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. So there's a goal. So first step, how do I want to feel? Secondly, what do you need in your life to feel that? And there might be a financial component to that. All right, I need at minimum this amount of money to support these goals that are going to have me feel good. And you probably found this when you coach your clients, it might be less money than you thought. The minimum. They've done some studies that show that the first, I don't know how much it is, 50 or 60 grand can really do a lot to provide happiness in the year. And after that, it drops way off because you need, you know, you want food and you want shelter and you want some basic peace. Mm-hmm. But after that, you know, that Porsche or that, you know, extra trip or vacation isn't going to do that much at all. So that's the first thing. And then there was a second component. I know, I remember the therapy component, but what was the other component to your question?
I told you I wouldn't remember, David. Come on, I'm serious. Yeah. I meant it.
Oh, that's right. I wanted to say some people come to me ready with goals. They're like, I know what I want. I'm just not getting there fast enough. So we might do brainstorming or we might have to strategize a plan and they might just need some accountability to put attention on it. All right, every week I'm going to do it. Other people, it might take 3 to 6 sessions to peel the onion and to just uncover. They may not know yet. Like people will come to me with, I want this, this, and this. 6 months later, we've uncovered that I'm working with an executive right now who finally has seen that he's really arrogant and he thinks he's smarter than everybody else, which may be true, but it's not serving him. He didn't come to me with that. But it's emerged and it's impacting all of his relationships, not just at work.
Did he come to that realization and share it with you? Or did you go, you know, you think you're, how do you come about that realization? How's it work?
Well, you know, sometimes I might gently point it out and I have that privilege because they're paying me. So I can say, you know, I think I have some feedback that might not be easy to hear, but it might be very valuable. Would you like to hear it? Mm. You're never going to get a no from someone who's paying you to hear your idea. But he came to me. He said, you know what? I think I can be a bit of a jerk. And we actually, this was really fun. Sometimes I get to have fun in coaching. I said to him, there's a chant. I know this is hippie woo woo, but I think it could really make a big difference for you. If you're willing, it comes from the Himalayas and you're willing to trust me on this. He said, all right. So I took him through this Himalayan chant. It starts, maybe you've heard it. It starts with Owa, Teja, Kayam. And we did this and we kept on going and he got faster and faster saying it with me until he realized he was saying, oh, what a jerk I am. Oh, what a jerk I am. Oh, what a jerk I am. And when he finally got it, he laughed so hard. And that's part of my style is let's bring some humor to it. Yeah, you can be a jerk. So can I. Mm. When I'm frustrated, I'll use my intelligence to belittle the waiter and they may not even know. And then I'll feel bad about it. But we're getting off track. So some people have a sense of what they want. Other people, it's going to take some time to uncover. And I find that really fun and fascinating. And then you said, how is coaching different from therapy? You know, it's very contentious. Therapists will argue about this. But once I heard this metaphor, a therapist will help a man with a broken leg to walk again. and a coach will help that man to run the 4-minute mile.
Okay. That's not mental therapy, though. That's physical therapy. How do you differ from, you know, somebody sitting down and saying, you know, I'm unhappy with my life?
The metaphor is more about someone who's really, really struggling to go from bad to okay, mm-hmm. versus helping someone to go from okay to good, or from good to great.
Okay. And you're the okay to good or good to great.
That's my target market. Now, there are coaches who might be willing to work with someone who's really struggling financially, for example. But if someone's got a lot of historical stuff, trauma and baggage from that, and I'm one of them, you know, I have no judgment about that. That's not me. I would say a therapist could spend time with you to help you unpack and bring up all those feelings from the past and like that. I'm more interested in what do you want and what are you going to do about it? And there is some overlap because sometimes people have limiting beliefs. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I've got one vice president who said, I think I've got some limiting beliefs that are holding me back. Can you help me with those? And I'm like, yeah, we can bust those open. But I'm not going to do a lot of how was it when your father treated you this way and whatever. That's not my style. I'll refer someone to a therapist if it looks like there's some old stuff that's really holding them back. Mm-hmm. A disclaimer and a plug for therapists. There are some therapists who will work with people who are doing just fine and help them go to great. So it's a broad brush painting gotcha. With right now.
Well, I got to tell you, in the future, audience, you may hear me say, how do you want to feel in 3 years when you sell your business, instead of what's your financial goal? What do you want to exit for? It'd be a blended combination of both. Because I got to tell you, you know, people are, this is their baby. They've built it up and sometimes they're sad to sell it. But I'm interviewing people right now for the purposes of writing a book. Yes, this is the second time I've mentioned this on the podcast. And I will not be obnoxious and plug it all the time. But it's fascinating. The idea is when that wire hits your account, and you can do it with your phone now, and you see, you know, all of those zeros in your bank account for the first time, what was that feeling like is the question that I asked. And the feeling was, okay, that's good. Now I got to get to work and helping with the transition of the business and keep going. It wasn't champagne popping and jubilation and things of that nature. And do you think that's because, and I heard this literally three out of the five interviews that I've done so far, do you think that is just because they're caught up in time, focused on the work at hand, versus setting a financial and feeling goal when someone exits their business?
I think the question is, why are people so quick to move on to the next thing and they're not celebrating and enjoying?
Yeah, I guess so. Thank you. You do a better job at reframing my questions than I do. Thank you.
My pleasure. So firstly, tell me, do you have a working title for your book? You know,
I do. We talked about it. That's right.
I think there was one line you said, and like, oh, you got to hold on to that line. I can't remember what it was.
We did. I've settled on, and this is the part where I'm either an idiot or brilliant. I sent out two title options. I'll just say it to everybody here. One was Incredible Exits, which is, you know, a series we use here on the podcast for people that have sold their businesses. And the other was Exitpreneur.
That's the one I remember.
That's the one that stuck, right? So I think probably 24 out of 25 people said Incredible Exits. Go with it. It's just that.
Do you remember the book title that I suggested?
Yes. Making Exits Sexy Again or something along
that
those
would,
lines.
That might be the subtitle. But there was, you said to me something like, the real money is in the something.
It's when you exit the business. Yeah. So the real money is when you exit. Yeah,
like where the real money is.
I forget
what it was, but I was very excited about it at the time.
I wrote it down. Well, we were making financials sexy again. That was the subtitle that you suggested. So that people
your financials, because you said the real money is in the financials, and people don't get that, and so you can make it sexy. It
makes their eyes bleed. Well, I ended up settling on the Exitpreneur's Playbook, and with the whole goal of setting a goal, and reverse engineering your pathway to that. But we might add some feelings in that goal.
Yeah. So speaking about reverse engineering, I'll comment on why I think we're so quick to skip over the celebration. But firstly, I want to tweak or reframe something you said. I agree with you. It would be good to ask them, how do you want to feel when you sell the business? So that's great. I think that would be a good move. And what I'm talking, I want to clarify it, is much broader than that. I'm saying, how do you want to feel in your life generally?
Yeah.
No, like when you, mm-hmm. Yeah, great. And so just for listeners to make sure that that's clear, how do you want to feel generally when you wake up, as you go about your day, when you go to bed, how do you want to feel? And what kind of activities and things actually have you feel that, and then reverse engineer your life from that? And you may find that money would be a component, and that's where Joe can come in and help you maximize what you get for your business to support what you've already created in terms of your life goals. Now, why I think we're so quick to skip, and I'm one of them, I won't say why our listeners are quick, I say why we are quick to skip the celebration. And I got this from Dan Sullivan, I think, a strategic coach. He said, we're looking forward. That's how we're oriented. We're looking forward and we constantly see the gap between where we are and where we want to be. And that's great. That's the ego's job because it wants to put food on the table. But when we do that, all we're going to see constantly are gaps. We're constantly going to see what there is to do, and it can be overwhelming, and we miss the celebration. If we want to feel good and acknowledge ourselves for how far we've come, we have to turn around metaphorically mm-hmm. and look backwards and see how far we've come, and that's the gain. So he talks about gain and gap, and I'm always like, all right, that was good. Now what's next? And I have to slow down and even say to people, we're celebrating, or I'm going to pop some champagne, or we're going to dinner, or dinner's on me, because I want to really acknowledge this win in my life that, for example, my health has been pretty rough for quite a while. And I went out 3 times last week to go and be with people and get limbic connection. That's a win, right? So we can slow down and celebrate that and say, wow, look how great that is, instead of looking forward to go, oh, there's still so much to do health-wise to heal. So does that answer your question?
It does. It does. Thank you. Thank you. You got any quick tips for those that are too afraid to hire a personal and business and life coach? You got any quick tips in terms of, you know, somebody that's caught up in that grind every single day, just trying to keep the wheels on the bus and not run out of inventory and deal with the coronavirus now and tariffs and so on and so forth. How do they kind of slow down and focus and appreciate what it is that they've got so that they can look forward with a clearer vision?
Yeah, well, I would recommend filling in the life assessment at playforreal.life. Okay. This it take you 5 or 10 minutes, and it's great information to have about your life. And then you can see, oh, maybe I want to work on the real goals. I'm going to sit down and do an hour session with myself and set some specific measurable targets that will have me feel great. So that's one thing. I like to talk about truth and daring in particular.
I played that as a kid.
Yeah. Well, that's truth. That's truth or dare.
I know.
I like truth and dare.
Okay.
I don't know if those are quick tips. I mean, I think the more we speak our truth, the better life gets, the more attractive we get. We might rock the boat a few times and have some teething pains, but I think
speaking the truth to those around you, to yourself, because it's a daring thing to do. How do you?
Most of us have grown up learning to hide things. We learn it covertly and subconsciously, and we're like, I'm just going to keep all the stuff in here mm-hmm. and I'll show the world what's safe. And I get that, and sometimes that's appropriate. But 9 out of 10 times, I think it separates us. And a great leadership move and personal growth move is to share the things that are a little edgy. Hey, when you said that, I felt disappointed. Or I notice I want us to feel better working together, and it feels strained, and I don't know what it is.
It's always hard to initiate.
Talk about it.
How do you initiate that? I remember, I was a kid, right? I was in my 20s, and I was volunteering at this theater in Portland, Maine, and doing a massive renovation. It was going to end up being a concert venue. And I volunteered and worked my tail off so that I could become an employee of the company when it finally opened. And I got that opportunity, and it really pissed off somebody else. And we weren't done yet. We still had another 3 or 4 weeks. And that person, he, you know, if he could have been bumping into me with his shoulder because he was so upset, he would have. It was that kind of, you know, mental stare and whatnot. And finally, I just said, hey, what have I done to upset and offend you? And it was hard for me to figure out what to say, but it worked. And we became friends afterwards, oddly enough. And so I was truthful and confronted him. I dared to, and it worked out very well, but it's very hard to do.
Yeah.
How do you bridge that gap and say it?
Well, the biggest obstacle is most people aren't even aware of those truths that are swimming around in their subconscious. They're just like, that guy's a dick, or I don't like her, or I'm just not going to work with him again. He's unreliable, right? Mm-hmm. We don't even see that I could speak up and possibly change this. So that's the first thing, is become aware of it. And I'm working on an app called that'll help you do a truth audit. To try and work out, what are the truths that I could say if I felt courageous? Secondly, once you work it out, say it's like that guy and you're feeling like things are strained and you want to bring up the conversation, the thing that gets in the way is lack of clarity. You're not aware yet what your hope or intention is. Like, what's the good that could come out of it? You haven't generated that yet. Mm. So it's a bit murky. You're not totally clear what you're afraid of. It's probably something like, he might get defensive, or it might be really awkward, it might make things worse, right? But that's not clear in the mind. So I have a free download on the website that it's called the 4-Step Tough Conversations Blueprint. And the worksheet will help you get clear. It'll even ask you, is there a request you could make, that something they could do that would improve the situation? So you get clarity, then you're going to be much more likely to have the conversation, because you're like, now I know what's going on. Before, mm-hmm. It was just this jumble of, I just didn't like what was happening. Then once you got the clarity, you can follow the 4 steps, which I'll give you them in a nutshell. You ask permission. Don't just dump the conversation. Can I talk to you about something for a few minutes? You share one hope and one fear. My hope is that we'll feel more connected after it, because I'm feeling like things are a little strange now. My hesitation is I might make it worse, but are you willing? Can I share the issue? And then 3, you share the issue and make your request. You know, my request would be just that you let me know what's going on and if there's any way I can improve the situation.
Make it sound very easy.
Well, I've had a lot of practice at doing them and at talking about it, and the worksheet really does make it a lot easier. I'm not saying you're not going to feel uncomfortable, and I'm not saying there isn't risk. That's what makes it a little bit exciting. But your chances of it going better are much clearer, because you'll have the steps. You can even take the printout with you and say, I wrote down some talking points because I want to do a good job at this. Mm. And then the step 4, super important, get curious and listen. How is this from your side? What are you experiencing? Do you have a better idea than what I do? And then you shut up and you listen, and then you'll work it out together.
I love it. Can you summarize for us, as we're wrapping up and running out of time, how is it, David, that this is helpful for people in business, the entrepreneurs that are here in the audience today?
Oh my God. It's helpful for everyone, but specifically in business, you want your staff to be motivated and empowered. I had my assistant quit out of nowhere. There were 3 things that weren't working for her, and she didn't have the training, as most people don't, in how to speak up. She didn't even consider a conversation was possible. So by you learning these techniques and practicing it, you can model it for others so that you can have more communication among your team. You become more attractive as a leader. You're going to build more loyalty, that people want to work with you. They will have a sense that they can trust you. You'll have more customers because your energy is going to shift, and they'll be like, oh, wow. You know, like Ezra, right? I say one of the reasons that people go and pay and be part of Blue Ribbon Mastermind is because of who Ezra is and how he shows up. And he's learned how to have these conversations and speak truth. So I could probably, if we had more time, I could probably go into 10 more benefits. But here's one final benefit. You will feel better and you will like yourself more.
That's a pretty huge benefit.
Speak your truth.
Yeah, that's a pretty huge benefit. That's called being happy. So I'm going to go ahead and download it myself. I know you and I are going to chat personally next week. And I'm very confident that I will actually become one of your clients. And maybe we'll have you back on and talk about my personal experience and how we went through that process, what it's made a difference for me in my role here at Quiet Life Brokerage. All right. Any last minute thoughts? And then, of course, the URL and how people reach you if they want to touch base and possibly have a coaching session or just learn more from what you do on the website.
Yeah, thank you. So my last thoughts are, you're doing great. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you know, life is incredibly complex. I'm going to do a rant sometime on this. Things are designed to break down. That's how it's going to work. And you made it this far. You're doing great. You don't need anything else. That's the number one thing. Secondly, there's always room for more, for things to be better. That's the game I'm playing. How I do better and get the most out of this life. And so if you want to practice speaking your truth more, maybe having a few tough conversations, I think that'll help. Setting goals. And really, we didn't talk about laser-focused action, but those are some things that can help. My invitation, if people want to find out more or get in touch with me, playforreal.life is my website. And there are three cool things you can do at that site, all at the same link. One, you can download this blueprint if you want to have a blueprint, a roadmap for your tough conversations. Secondly, I have my own podcast. If you want to listen to me as well as Joe, I've got Tough Conversations with David Wood, and you can subscribe at the website. And the third thing, if something resonated for you on this call and you're like, I want life to be better, I want business to be better, and if you think you might be coachable, like you're open to input, see if you qualify for a discovery session. If you qualify, I don't charge for that. One, because it's fun. And two, because it's how I find the right people to work with long term. We'll actually dive into your life and business and create a plan. And if you want to implement it on your own, keep me posted and let me know how it goes. And if we both believe that coaching can have a big impact, we'll talk about setting up coaching.
Right.
And that's all at playforreal.life.
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to it myself, David. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it. And I hope you can help a lot of people in the audience just be happier in life and happier and more successful in business. So thank you very much.
My pleasure, Joe. Thank you.
Today's podcast was produced by Podcast Motor and the Quiet Light Content Team. If you have a suggestion for a future podcast, or if you want to guess the quote from the beginning of the show for a chance at getting a shout out on the pod, email us at podcast@quietlightbrokerage.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and this show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.